going to give you back a portion as a testimony from my heart to yours that I know who it is that gives me strength to make the money, to pay the bills, to have a home, to eat the good food, to enjoy. You know, I got a neat little tool this week. It's an apple slicer. Man, is that cool. They're over at Target for $3.99. You take that baby and you shove that, you got all these little guys looking at you saying, eat me, come on. And you don't have to feel bad about it. The reason I digress is because I know hell is a hard subject to talk about. But I want you to know he received all his good stuff down here. And he ate it up. He clothed himself. He was living large. He fared sumptuously. His midriff was good. Nothing bothered him. No conscious of how he had behaved and how he had bereaved other people of the right to prosper as well because of his prosperity. And the Bible says that he was asking, and Abraham says in verse 25, you must remember that in my lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. By the way, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to get all the good stuff. Lazarus was the one in the bosom. He had a bad day. Bad day on earth. Bad world for him. It was sad for him. Johnny Erickson Tata, sad day for her. Sad day on earth. I've known people who are paralyzed, who are in pain 24 hours a day. They smile if they know Jesus. I know one lady smiles through her pain, but she's in pain all the time. And you can see it on her face, the cracks of pain. What we have to be thankful for and praise God for is beyond our imagining. He holds the breath we breathe. He holds the air. He holds the heartbeat. He holds it all together with his hand and with the word of his power. And the Bible says, you received your good things, Lazarus his evil things on earth. And it says, but now, verse 25, he is called alongside, comforted. That's what it means. Para kaleo. Kaleo. We get the word called. Para is beside, like paramedic. Beside the medic. He is called alongside. And you are in torments. Different word here. Different word for torments here. The word for torments here is literally the idea of being plunged or sinking down in intense pain, sorrow, and to be plunged into. That's why it's called a lake of fire. When I was 8 years old, I was burnt in a fire. My shirt caught on fire. I was in the hospital 3 months. Beloved, what I want you to know is we've all been there. We've all put our hands or our arm, the soft part of our arm, on a hot muffler from a motorized lawnmower or a motorcycle or something. We've all felt it. Folks, listen, it's torment. It is real. And Jesus tells us it's real. This is not misinformation, and this is not uninformation. This is information. You need to realize that this is where we will be if we do not make our adjustments as God would prescribe us to do so. Verse 26 says, and besides this, besides the fact that you must remember, that's his first job, he's going to remember for the rest of his life, he's going to remember and gnaw upon himself for the rest of his life with what he means, what he recalls, because the word means to gnaw, and it means to abide in a gnawing effect, because you're going to remember, it says in verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come past thence to you cannot, and neither can you pass to us. And the point is this, in what the Bible calls Hades was the abode of the dead. On one side was torment and one side was paradise. Jesus on the cross said to the thief who said, remember me, when you come into your kingdom, he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Paradise was a real place Jesus went to. And when he descended into Hades, he demonstrated to all on the other side who said, I don't need God. He demonstrated the victory was won because when he left Hades, He took captivity captive. He led it on into the presence of God. And now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because Jesus is going to be right at the feet of Jesus. He's going to be right in the presence of Jesus. And you'll see it from the time of his resurrection on out that Jesus has got his people with himself. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. But to abide is more needful for you in Philippians. He says, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord. But what about you? Are you going to be one called in, comforted? Are you going to be called alongside like Lazarus was? That's your choice. You can, but you have to come in the proper manner. The Bible says in verse 27, and then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, and this is the ones he loved, the love of the rich man, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify, literally, earnestly testify unto them, lest they come to this terrible place of torment. Folks, if the people could die from the grave speak, It would be in either total bliss and perhaps speechless in human terms, or they would be in total torment and all you would hear was shrieks. Now folks, this is reality. None of us is getting out alive. Jesus said it. In fact, it's so serious that Jesus left eternal bliss in heaven from the throne of the right hand of God, came as God the Son, manifested in the flesh. He came, lived, and died. God, with us, died on a cross to say, look out. This is important. God is holy. He must judge sin. Here am I, Lord. Take me. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's a reality check. Now, we could either be called alongside, or we can be buried. We can be either carried or buried. We can be either in torment, or we can be at the bosom of the one we love the most. This morning, the Bible tells us that he said unto him, send him to my father's house. When I do a funeral, oftentimes I use that if I don't know the person and what their spiritual condition is. I'll say to the people I speak to, I'll say, you know, if this beloved one here could be here today, I'm sure they would tell you everything I'm saying is something you really need to hear. I don't preach them into hell or I don't preach them into heaven, but I know whatever side of the coin they fell on, their words would be intense and earnest. And they would say, believe. The Bible says in verse 28, I have five brethren. Verse 29, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Moses represented the law of God. The prophets represents the plan of God. Because the prophets were the ones who said he would be born in Bethlehem. The prophets were the ones who said that he would be born of a virgin. The prophets were the ones who said that his star would rise in the east. The prophets were the ones that said a day star would arise out of Judah. The prophets were the ones that told us that he would be called a Nazarene. The prophets are the ones that said he'd go to Egypt. The prophets were the ones that told us that he would die between two thieves. The prophets were the ones that told us that he would make another man's grave his tomb. The prophets were the ones who said that he would make his burial with the rich, for the rich man Joseph of Arimathea gave his tomb. The prophets were the one that says, I will not suffer my Holy One to suffer corruption, but he would rise again on the third day. The prophets were the ones that said he would have a kingdom whose end would never be known, because he would come and he would set up a kingdom, and it would be the kingdom of his father David, and he would reign forever and ever, and the lion would lay down with the lamb, my beloved. The Bible says God has a plan. You need to get in on it. The prophets were the ones who told us what was coming. Jesus was going to live. He was going to suffer. He was going to bear the sins of many. He was wounded, the prophets told us, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Crushed, crushed, crushed. Jesus was crushed for our iniquity. And you know what your iniquity is? That's when you live in a constant state of acting like what you're doing isn't wrong. Being unequal in your heart. You know it's wrong, but you keep saying no. What? Who are you to judge? That's iniquity. Because you don't only do wrong, then you justify the wrong. And the insidiousness of sin is when you do that, you're telling other people it's okay for them to do it too. You see, we are not guiltless. Blood is on our hands. If you offend in one point of the law, the Bible says you're guilty of all of it. It's like a pane of glass with pieces of pie drawn on with magic marker. You know, ten commandments. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, well, he doesn't really mean it. Oh, yeah? Okay. Whatever you say, but I'd say, if I say, oh my gosh, I'm even a little nervous about getting that close. So I say, oh my goodness, and I don't care if people think that sounds like grandma. Because I answer to a higher authority than that person who's looking at me and saying, oh my goodness, it's kind of sissy. Well, if I'm sissy, sign me up. Because the bottom line is this. He said one of the big Ten Commandments was don't take his name in vain. He says my enemies take my name in vain. Beloved, what I'm saying to you is one thin thing, one point. He says you're guilty of all. That puts us all in pretty bad shape. And the Bible says, send them, tell them. They don't want to come here to this place of torment. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And that's what he's saying to you. For most of us, we're illiterate as far as our Bibles are concerned. Therefore, we don't even know what Moses and the prophets have to say. So we need to get back to the basics and say, you know what? I'm rich. I'm not just going to clothe myself with fine linen and purple. I'm going to clothe myself with the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 29, or verse 30, he says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them, pierced through from the dead, they will repent, and that is what is needed. The word repent does not mean turn over a new leaf or change your life. Did you hear what I said? because we got a real problem with this whole issue of repentance today. It's not what you do when you repent. It's not what you do. It's how you believe. Repentance is the Greek word meta, which means with, like metaphysical. Familiar stuff, right? Metaphysical doesn't mean physical, but beside the physical. Meta, and it's noia, which means your mind, with your mind, with your understanding. If they saw one pierced through from the dead, then they would repent. Guess what? One did. And they still don't believe. And Abraham called it. He said, listen, he said, though one would raise, but if one would raise from the dead, in verse 31, if they hear not the prophets and Moses, it says, neither will they be persuaded. And there's the word for faith. Though one rise from the dead. You know what, folks? One did rise from the dead, and his name was Jesus. And he did it back in Jerusalem, nearly 2,000 years ago, around that time. And he lived a perfect life. He walked on the water. He calmed the sea. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Gave fingers to withered hands. Gave strength to broken and lame legs. Gave sight to blind eyes. I mean, he was huge on the landscape of time. If it could have been disproven he was who he said he was, then people like Josephus, who was an agnostic historian who was Jewish, in writing about him, said one whether he was whether it be lawful for one to call a man rose with the name Jesus of Nazareth, if it be lawful to call him a man, I know not. Because he went about doing great things. Josephus, a historian, wrote right on the landscape, 50 days after his resurrection, 40,000 of the Jews who just had said, crucify him, got converted. Because God pried the door open and said, there's forgiveness, even for that. And they said, we'll take it. Now, beloved, when we die, we're going to be there. And we're going to be there on purpose. It's going to be just us and God, us and ourselves, us and our legacy, whatever it was. And it's going to be active. You're going to be involved. You're not going to be able to stand off to the side and watch it happen. And you don't get the next episode coming back, like TV. Or you don't get to press reset and get five more lives, like video games. You're going to be there. It's going to be for all the marbles. And you can believe Moses and the prophets. And God says in His Word that if that's enough, He says, Jason, let them believe them. But God has given you more than Moses and the prophets. He's given you Jesus. He's given you Jesus. And when you trust Him as your Savior, you will involve two things, repenting, changing your mind. God's not mean. God loves you. It means changing your mind. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. God just says, come to me and I will take care of the details. He says, listen, you are my workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You come to me, I will perfect that which I've begun in you, he says in Philippians 1:6. He says it's God who's at work when you get saved, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. God's going to take care of you. And He will chasten you, and He will chase you. He'll give you flat tires if you decide to go the wrong way too much, just to get your attention. But He loves you. He never over-disciplines. He loves, He pursues, He cares. He wants to be what? Your Father! And just like you are a father of some child or you're a child of some father, you know that no matter what you do, they will always love you. And though they disappoint you, you will always love them. And that's what God is. But He says you've got to come through Jesus and change your mind. Don't say, well, I'll get good enough and I'll get it in order and then I'll come. No, come now, Jesus says. Today is the day of salvation, meaning the entire church age. This is it, man. When the horn blows, man, we're out of here. When the rapture comes, you may be sitting there saying, well, what did I get wrong? Do you think it's important what you believe? I think it is. He says metanoia. And He says if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. Pithera is the Greek word for persuasion. Pistuo is the Greek word that comes from it, which means faith. If you don't believe Jesus, what are you going to believe? Now, if you don't know what He said, if you don't understand the promises, you can't believe Him. Oh, I believe in Him. Remember what I said at the outset. Believing in God is not what saves. It's believing God. Therefore, it's important that I personally know what He said. And so I commend to you the Word of Christ, the Word of God, the Scriptures, because they are a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. And the Bible says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. And so this morning I say to you, beloved, there are people here who love you enough to have gotten out of their comfort zone. Why don't you go to church with us? And they say, why don't you come? And you came. And you may never go back to a church again. You may get hit, God forbid, by a car even leaving today. There's no guarantee on tomorrow. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Do you ever stop to think about people that have been here before us that we admire? John Adams, people like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, they were here. But this is our world now. You're driving now. You are the men and women today. You are virtue and honor and integrity today as it is defined because you are God's children or people of God in this generation. This morning, will you be called alongside to comfort? Or will you be buried? Let's bow together for a moment. Heads are